Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking mainly baseball this morning. City Councilman Matt Kelly is here. The final pieces to the baseball puzzle last night all taken care of. And first of all, Matt, well, good morning. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I've been talking to you about this for a long time.
I think we were chatting beforehand, and I had to be reminded at the evening of the vote after the meeting by Peter Kirk, who's been also involved in this project for a long time, that we started out in 2010 in Waldorf when we went up to meet with both the Waldorf government and the Blue Crabs management to kind of talk about how they financed the stadium, what the deal was, how was it working for the county. And which kind of started this whole conversation.
I remember when that first started, and it really started with a conversation you had with Paul Akers, who was the
that's the one thing that I'm kind of a little bit sad about is the fact that Paul wasn't here. He was a huge supporter of this, more of the baseball component. You know, I'm looking at it more as a multi-use facility, but you know, he really was instrumental in really kick-starting this thing and constantly being out there pushing it in any which way he could. I've made it, you know, and I've talked to the Silber family and asked them that as they move forward with this project and it continues on, that something at the stadium is there to recognize Paul and his efforts.
I wondered, is there at the very least some kind of a plaque somewhere or name something?
We always talked about having that, the editorial he wrote about, you know, what a baseball team means to a community and having, you know, brings community support and everything else to rally around. And that was a great editorial, and maybe having that somewhere.
Oh, that would be terrific. Mm-hmm. That would be terrific.
He really did. He was, I'll say, the godfather of this whole operation.
It really, it did. It got people talking and thinking about it, because at that time, you were looking at whether it was an existing team or whether it would be an independent league, affiliated team.
Because they all bring different things to the table. The big discussions early on was really primarily with Charles County and saying, how did this work? How did you put the deal together? And was it working for the county? Were you seeing, you know, what was promised in revenues and things of that nature?
I remember because I don't know if you still do, there were a group of you, because you invited me several times and it never worked out, but there were a group of you who regularly went over to Waldorf.
Yeah, Paul Akers was there. Russ Smith with the National Park Service, Mink with the National Park Service. Usually we were the big four, and then, you know, other people would come along with us, and we would just go to the games and watch the games.
Yeah, because you used to say to me, we go over and I'll let you know. And I looking back now, I wish I could have at least one time come along.
Well, the interesting thing about it, and when you got there, is, of course, they had a playground area for the kids. Yeah. They had a climbing wall. They had bumper boats. And as Mr. Kirk would sometimes say, if you interviewed people coming out of the stadium at the end of the game, he said maybe 25% or 30% could tell you what the score was. Because for most people going there, it was time to get together with friends and neighbors and have, you know, chit-chat. And, you know, if the game was going on and some people were paying attention to it. But most people just saw it as an event to get out there, have the kids running around and stuff like that.
And I think that's how you envision. I think that's what a lot of the Fredericksburg Stadium, I think a lot of people are already looking at that kind of venue of where you'll just go with friends and enjoy yourself.
The interesting thing about that particular facility, and it is kind of a microcosm of a lot of them, is it does almost 300 events a year, of which only 70 are baseball. You've seen at different facilities, they do other sporting events. They do soccer, field hockey. They do Theater Under the Stars. They've had weddings there. They do Boy Scout jamborees and campouts there. They do a lot of different things at these facilities. And again, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, baseball's dying, it's a dying sport and everything else like that. You know, everybody understands what the model needs to be. You know, baseball for me is really, because it's an affiliated team, it brings, if I'm going to use the pun, a backstop to the deal.
Yeah.
Because minor league baseball and major league baseball have to sign off on it. Because if something were to happen to the team or the ownership, they would have to step in and kind of make sure the agreement is fulfilled. So that's, for me, the baseball component more than anything else. And then hopefully we now have a facility that Parks and Rec potentially uses or other organizations can use. And I've never, ever during the course of this made a big deal about, oh, we're going to make lots and lots of money of this. No, this is really a community amenity, quality of life thing for me that we had the opportunity of having somebody else come in and build it for us. Because right now we can't take on additional debt. We've got too much on our plate already. Yeah. And stuff coming down the road that is going to be very expensive that we have to do. So this was kind of, this is great. Somebody's going to come and build it for us. We'll rent it. We'll use the revenue from the stadium to pay for it. So we're not dipping in the general funds, and we're off and running.
And the thing that you it's hard to put a price on, but for anybody who follows the Nationals, you watch on TV, and at some point in every one of the games, they'll talk about what's going on down on the farm, and they'll talk about, now they're talking about Potomac. But after this year, it will be Fredericksburg and radio too.
Yeah, there's a lot of obviously advertising advantages associated with this also that will help the city in the long run. And also, if you look at take Waldorf. I know you didn't go up there. When you used to drive up to the Waldorf Stadium, and it would be basically open field all the way to the stadium. And now you go there, it's kind of hard to move. A lot of development and everything else.
That was
kind of went around it and...
The time I went up there, there was development just starting. So it's been a few years. So
you look at business development models now. In the old days, everybody was looking at, you know, where are the roads, where are the train lines, where are the rivers, everything else. Like that. Now with the computer age, you know, businesses can go, you know what, I want to focus on what a great quality of life my employees will have, my employee pools, what type of people are there. Those are things that are now becoming more and more important in making a decision on where to locate. Mm-hmm. So it does. We'll have secondary advantages in economic development for us, too.
Some businesses in Central Park have told me that they've already been in contact with the team and are already working on things. So I think Central Park is helped by this, too.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it, that it's going to have an economic benefit there. And we'll also step out and say that I think there'll be some additional development that businesses will want to be around the stadium. And we shall see in the coming months.
Did you ever think this would happen? Because it seemed after it left the city, and then the idea of with Hagerstown, with the Suns, and then it went elsewhere and got nowhere around here, you just felt like there was, you know, there was no hope that we would see a baseball team anytime soon.
Well, there were some times, as you know, with Winston Churchill, he called it the wilderness years when you had that period of time. But you know, Mr. Kirk said it pretty well, and I think I mentioned it Tuesday night. He was always there saying, "Matt, this is a market that is too good to pass up. Somebody will want to be here. It's a growing market." It's a situation where, you know, you're looking at a lot of people coming in and out, transient market also, which would be a big help. He said, you will have a team at some point. It's just a matter of when.
Well, and you need to be complimented for the fact that for a while it didn't look like the Hagerstown deal. It was before the city, and there was Diamond Nation was involved, and there were a lot of moving parts. But when that all fell apart, you wanted baseball somewhere in the region. And you advocated then when Spotsylvania was looking for it. You went and spoke before Spotsylvania supervisors.
Well, the interesting thing about economic development, and we can call it economic development or quality of life issues, getting to be in my older political age, you know, there's the understanding that this whole idea of just in my locality has got to go by the boards.
Yeah.
That there are things that can happen outside the boundaries of the city that can benefit the city, either economic development or a stadium. I mean, if it's not a matter of political boundary, it's a matter of if it's a 15-minute drive, you know, who cares you're crossing in Spotsylvania or you're crossing in Stafford? Would I prefer it in the city, which is where it's going, hopefully. Sure, but if it ended up in the counties, that would have been fine too.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We're mainly talking about baseball. We will continue when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We're mainly talking about the baseball coming to Fredericksburg in 2020. So I guess they'll be groundbreaking then at some point in the next 6 weeks or so.
They are saying they're still planning on doing a groundbreaking in December. So,
in December, yeah. Okay.
So probably a few... A little less than that.
Yeah, so it's and I guess depending on the weather this winter, and they'll get started in 2020, April of 2020.
April 1st, 2020. That's the opening of the facility.
I was glad to see that you negotiated to get Fredericksburg as part of the name, because I looked at when they used to be the Prince William Cannons. I thought when they became Potomac, I think Prince William County kind of lost out, that a lot of people don't know where it is at. And I worried that if you didn't get Fredericksburg, that it would be Rappahannock or something generic like that.
That was never an issue in the discussions. It was always going to be Fredericksburg. Now what they put after that is...
Yeah.
My guess, it'll stay Fredericksburg. It'll say the Nationals and just be the Fredericksburg.
I hope
Nationals.
I've seen things on Facebook of where people have made
suggestions. Well, I kind of look at it and talk about it. I think, you know what? Richmond really ruined it for all of us when they came up with flying squirrels.
Yeah.
I kind of went, okay, we give the public a chance to do this, and this is what they come up with.
Maybe yeah. Let's don't do that. No, just keep it. I'm with you. You see a lot of hats around. A lot of people are. The logo will change some, I guess. But
I would assume so. Yeah, the ball caps just say Fredericksburg
baseball. Yeah,
that's all it says on it. So, but actually, I've got a number of people that says, "I want that ball cap. Can you get me that ball cap?" And I'm kind of going, "Well, you know, it's not going to be the ball cap if the team moves here." And he goes, "No, but it's the first ball cap, and it says Fredericksburg baseball on it."
Oh, I know. No, I'm trying to work connections to try to get one of those. I saw you and your wife on the weekend walking around on Small Business Saturday, and you were wearing a Fredericksburg baseball hat.
I only received mine the day after the vote. Did an interview in the morning with Channel 8 News out of Richmond, and Bill Freeling says, "You've got to wear this." Put on the ball cap. So I put on the ball cap for that interview, and then later in the afternoon, the mayor and I did an interview with Channel 7 News, and I forgot the ball cap. So.
Well, yeah, I saw you around town. And
well, I'll see what I can do on the hat.
On Saturday.
For some reason right now, a lot of people are going, where do you get that hat? Again, just Bill just said, wear this hat.
Yeah, no, there are a few people. You do see some hats around town. This has been a big. You talk about a lot. This has been a big story. How did it all resurrect? Did it begin to resurrect when the team finally ran out of options in Prince William County with the Board of Supervisors?
I can surmise a little bit. I think when the deal went south in Prince William, and I know Peter Kirk was involved with the family and helping the family out there, and Peter knew, obviously, was intimately involved with us down here. And my guess is we owe Peter Kirk a debt of thanks to say, hey, if you can't do it here, let's look at Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
I did, when the news started coming out that the deal was going south in Prince William, and a lot of people said, well, that shows you why we shouldn't do it, because obviously it was a great deal. Just for people to understand, the Prince William deal had Prince William County financing the stadium. Totally different model. In fact, I was talking to – I serve on a number of regional boards that include – I think I know most every member of the Prince William Board of Supervisors. And they were asking, well, how did you pull that off? But – when it started going south, I did talk to a few members of the Board of Supervisors, Prince William, and said, hey, if you tell me if it's dead, if there's any chance of resurrection, obviously we can't get involved. We can't discuss this in any way, shape, or form. They said, no. it's over here. So if you guys want to step up to the plate, but the team kind of came to us and said, hey, it's not working here. Would you? And basically, there is specific rules and regs by Major League Baseball. They cannot play the game of negotiating off of different
right.
localities.
Yeah,
they can only be negotiating with one locality at a time.
Well, and it shows, even though the deal with the Suns failed, you still there were at least there was interest in the city, and they obviously knew that.
No, I keep mentioning his name, and he's probably instrumental in putting this all together, because Peter Kirk both owned a number of teams and has built a number of stadiums himself. And again, he kept on coming back as this is a market that everybody would love to be in. And he said, you will have a team at some point, it just no matter what. And if you really look at the process that most localities go through, another aspect that I looked at and remembered was it usually two or three times. First time usually doesn't work. It's usually farther out with a different team. Because frankly, the deal is better than the Hagerstown deal. I'm not going to say it's not. But both deals were, frankly, when you looked at the normal process for financing a baseball stadium, were groundbreaking, totally new and different. Because again, in the end, we had, in both cases, the teams building the stadium, or in the case of Suns, actually the Diamond Nation was going to do all the work, and the Suns were going to, cut their deal with them.
Well, this we talk about things this area needs to have, and like you said earlier in the last segment, that the things that are going to be able to be done at that stadium, and this does really set Fredericksburg up and continues. I mean, Fredericksburg, like it or not, for the locality, still remains the hub of the region, and this is where a lot of events now that stadium. There's a lot of possibilities.
We have this. You have the Celebrate Virginia Live concert series, which is great, and wonderful. And now, and everybody was sitting around in a mud hole. And
yeah.
Now they'll move into a stadium where they can sit down and watch concerts. So I think that's going to have not only an impact on how many people end up showing up to the concert, but I think the acts that will suddenly come to Fredericksburg will actually step up a notch too. Now that you're not basically performing in a mud hole.
And a 5,000 seat stadium, there's just a lot of things you can envision. And for Parks and Rec, I'm sure that they're already brainstorming on things.
Well, what's interesting to look at, and we went up to watch Peanuts game and some of my colleagues, which had a very low turnout. But again, it was built as a baseball stadium. Now when they build these, mm-hmm. they elongate third base lines and everything else like that. So it can serve multiple – again, it's being built for multiple uses, not just, baseball. So you could do field hockey. I've heard or know of times where they basically turn it into a skating rink.
Mm.
And they can play ice hockey and do skating on the fields. So there's a lot of different things if you go online to look at what different stadiums – and believe me, I've done a lot of that – kind of things that they do that don't include baseball.
Right. I just think of things, high school VHSL championship events where they have in bigger venues, and you could envision them having, moving some state championship games here instead of a lot of things are sometimes as far away as Salem, Virginia Beach, things like that. And this now gives kind of this Northern Central Virginia a place to have some events.
And we have the hotel space available and things of that nature that would help it. Needless to say, we've got restaurants wall-to-wall down there, so that won't be an issue. So, no, it will be, a very good venue for those type of events.
I was surprised because and several people afterward, I've talked to a number of people who said these kind of big event, these kind of big decisions by a local government are usually never – you never get a unanimous vote, and in this case you did.
We got a unanimous vote on it. I think staff did a very good job in getting us through and making sure the council understood exactly all the components of the deal. The interesting thing was when the family was here during one of the first public hearings and nobody showed up, or one or two people spoke, and they had kind of a quizzical look on their face. I said, listen, having gone through what we went through with Hagerstown, take this for what it is. Fact of the matter is people were kind of said, all right, this. And I talked to a number of people as this started into this process who had been opposed to the last go-around and everybody seemed, oh yeah, this deal's different. You know, as long as they're building it and we get use of it, and you can show us that the revenues will support it, and then we're fine. So
it will be fun in the next year to start seeing over there by the Expo Center when it starts to rise up.
Yes, it will be. I guess again, we should have. I guess they're planning a groundbreaking. We don't have any definitive word yet in the next few weeks.
You'll get a golden shovel, and you'll for sure have, if you forget your hat, someone will have a hat for you.
Oh, no doubt, and all that stuff like that. Another golden shovel, yeah.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. More coming up. We will continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We will continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly is here this morning. We're going to talk about some other things, but somebody did, Matt, text in about where on the web can we view seat prices and a seating chart. That's through the team, and they haven't that has not come out yet.
That has not come out yet. They have a gathering down at the Fredericksburg Area Museum on Saturday.
Starting at 10,
where they're going to start their, quote, Founders Club. And they're going to talk about season tickets, and even then, the total prices have still not been established yet. So
yeah,
it's still a work in progress.
That is all to come. But in the months ahead, we'll have, I'm sure at some point some of the owners with the team will come in here and we'll do a show at some point. But we're not that far along yet. They seem like a real nice family.
It's a very family. Very good, nice family. And again, I think they will be judging the parade on Saturday.
Yeah, they are. I said Jane Shellhorst just mentioned that to me, and I did not realize that they were doing that. So jumping into the community,
right? And they're going to move on down here and set up house and run the team. And
I have heard a number of
they do a lot of stuff at the stadium and in the community to help out too. So this will be a very, very community oriented family and a lot of support into the community.
Well, and it will really get exciting. Well, I mean, next spring when we're looking at opening day, and we'll be terrific. But as the season goes along, and if when a big name player from the Nationals comes to Fredericksburg for rehab, the first time that happens, that'll be just off the charts.
I think you'll have a lot of people, coming out to watch the game.
So it'll be all fun. I look forward to going to a game with you and just sitting there and looking around.
Yeah, but now you can actually go with us.
I can.
It's a little closer than Waldorf.
Yeah, those
or the trips to Hagerstown. We went to watch them play.
You did. That's right. Your little group went up there.
Hagerstown, Waldorf. So seen the Peanuts play.
They'll all be here. I even discovered that last summer I went down to see the squirrels, and although that's an easy stadium to get to and it's only an hour away, it still is a long night when you've got to get up the next morning.
Right, and you notice they're trying to build a new stadium.
Yes, they haven't had as much.
Because that stadium was never really built to be anything but a baseball stadium. Right?
Yeah,
that's the issue, and they're suddenly realizing it needs to be something that can accommodate a lot more things.
Well, I guess we'll see when it's built. But as the meeting that the owners had over at the Dorothy Hart Center, they talked about how the stadium will be, the field will be lower. So I guess that there'll be a kind of a pit when they start working on that, and then they'll build up from that.
That's what I understand. Again, I have not spent a lot of time looking at plans and drawings. It's just been kind of focusing on making sure let's get the deal done first, and then I can worry about, and frankly, I can't worry about it because it's not my, it's the team's So facility.
The stadium's going to be over by the Expo Center or in that area?
Yeah, headquartered off in the middle. Yeah. You know where they're doing the construction now?
Yeah.
Just keep going back in towards the river and you'll bump into it.
And so this is a different spot than what the Suns were looking at, isn't
Correct.
It?
Correct. It's different than the Diamond Nation
because
site.
That was that there was some topography
the old,
issues.
Yeah, the old Slavery Museum site.
Okay. Well, it's exciting. Congratulations. Well,
thank you. A lot of people did a lot of work to get us where we're at.
I liked when you talked and made the I was glad that you got to make the motion to all
Actually,
of these.
That was the only one I asked to make. I figured to let everybody else do all the other motions, but the final one I wanted to make that motion.
And it was interesting that you talked about, and I didn't know the little piece of history that the first conversation that you had about this over at the 2400 Diner.
Which made it onto their Facebook page. They were very happy to be mentioned. When I had to go meet somebody over there and they brought up and thank you very much for mentioning us. We put it up on our Facebook page. And yes, I remember when Paul was here.
And when you and Paul had that meeting, was that when and he brought it to you? Was that the first time that had ever, you'd considered or thought about? About it.
Paul was the one who planted the seed. There's no question. It was not at that time there were a lot of other things on the plate too that we had to deal with. Still do. And that's why, again, this is a project to me that we couldn't build on our own.
Yeah.
Somebody's basically saying, hey, we'll build it for you. You pay a little bit of the cost and basically we'll generate the revenue so you can pay us. So we are not looking at dipping into general funds or anything else like that or taking away from anything else. And the community has this, we'll have this great amenity.
Well, and the Carolina League's is a great league to be in because you've got some Virginia teams and you've got North Carolina teams and so
Eastern Seaboard teams for the most part and it'll be and they're all doing very well. So my hope here is as long as we're paying the bills with the money generated from the stadium and people are enjoying it, getting to go see community events, having their kids play on a regular field and have an opportunity to do that, or high school kids.
Yep.
Well, all those type of things, that's what we're supposed to be doing is providing these kind of amenities for our community.
On to some other things. There was a vote last night at City Council that you played. You were talked about a lot.
Not too happy with me.
You made some comments last night that riled up a few.
The project itself for me was more of a microcosm of a bigger issue in the city.
And the project's up by Wegmans, right?
Right. It's right behind Wegmans on Fall Hill Avenue. And it's a 7-Eleven and a Valvoline. And when this project was first brought forward to the council, there always all you heard about last night was the trail issue. But the initial conversations with members of council and staff was, Valvoline and a 7-Eleven, this is what we need. And of course, a lot of the comments, initial opposition coming from the public was, why are you building a gas station right down the road from another gas station and everything else like this? And this has been kind of a pet peeve for me for a long time, and it kind of boiled over last night. In that, we're still pretty much in react mode when it comes to economic development. And as I said last night, the development community is market driven. Who can put a project in? They get somebody to sign up. They do their homework. Yeah, we want to be here. We want to build something here, and they move it forward. And like this particular project and others that we've had, I'll look at the mobile home site, which is also still on the table to be redeveloped. Nobody liked what was coming forward on that. Another fast food, another gas station.
That's over on Route 1, and that's still being
Route 1.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to push the council into the idea that, if we want something different, we can't just keep saying, I want something different or I want something better. We need to start articulating what we want Fredericksburg to be and what we're looking for specifically. And then we need to sit down with the development community, one, to understand the ins and outs of their business and why they're market-driven and everything else like that, because obviously at the end of the day, they've got to make some money out of the deal. And then come back and say, well, this is what we want, and hear from them and saying, well, right now the market, take office space right now. Who's going to finance office space right now? But let's say we want it. And they said, well, we can look at that and we can start looking out there for prospective people to come in, but you're going to have to do A, B, C, and D to make this happen. And then we can make the decision whether or not we want to do that. Because frankly, if we want to do a better job, and I think we do need to do a better job, especially in the next few years, we're going to define the city and what it's going to be. And if we want to be actively engaged, we've got to have all the players at the table to have this conversation. And I can't get the council to do it. So while everybody kept on talking about trails, and I think trails are great and wonderful, and in this particular package, there was money to extend the trails and make trail safety issues and pay into it, so that wasn't there. I think looping back into the river trail would be make great sense, because right now, you know, you hit there where that curb cut goes in, you go up to what, Gordon D. Parkway,
yeah,
and then you walk down some more and you're at Cowan, and then what's out beyond that? Or are we going to walk all the way down to Route 3 on Bragg Road? I don't think anybody wants to do that.
I know,
that.
But he should do
so
that.
So it really is kind of the end of that trail system anyway, yeah. So why not loop it back? But, you know, really during the course of the discussions leading up to this, there was a lot of, you know, this is not really what we want and everything else like that, which everybody, of course, denied last night. And just trying to get to the point where, if you look at most successful communities that we keep looking at, Greenville, South Carolina, and those places, they get to everybody in a room and they say, okay, guys, this is the plan.
Yeah.
This is what we're looking for, and how do we help you guys make this happen? We won't have those conversations. You know, you heard last night, well, they should know what we want, and therefore they should just stop bringing the, you know, kind of stuff like this. And come on. And the comp plan doesn't cut it. The small area development plans just tell you we're going to have this much commercial and this much residential. It doesn't really define, you know, what we have and what we want. And we don't go out and try to bring any businesses in. You know, last time it was, oh, we got a great thing. You know, we got a new baseball stadium. Well, the baseball came to us. We have, you know, the Veterans Administration thing. That came to this region.
Yeah.
It's not anything that we went out and absolutely, you know, recruited and said, we want you. And now we have, you know, FRA and groups like that that are going, you know, we need to get better focus with the region on what we can develop and how we can develop. And they want some direction from us. And right now our response is, you know, hey, we'll wait and see what comes in and we'll decide whether we like it or not and we'll vote on it and that's going to be the end of it. And, you know, having gone through that for as many years as I have, it's just getting really old. And it's frustrating for everybody because you got people spending hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of dollars waiting to get an answer. And then we take this particular project and we drag it out 6 or 7 months. Or I don't know how many months it is. It just seems like a year. And then, you know, we have, I will always talk to anybody, whether I agree with them or not, I will talk to you, I will sit down and I'll meet with you. But when you get a situation where you have members of council who will not meet with anybody or talk to anybody, just sit up there and go, no, I don't like this, that's not the way to do this. We need to build relationships with everybody and every group, and we're far from that.
So you'd like to see the city be more proactive, and is that what the Greenvilles and others
yeah,
do?
Yeah, it's, you know, what are we going to be? What are we looking for? Where do we want to go, and how are we going to do it? It's because we're never going to be part of the, you know, governmental agency. Everybody keeps talking about, hey, bring a bunch of governmental agencies down. We're not part of the National Capital Region. We never will be. So we're not getting notifications and everything else through, you know, General Services yeah. Administration. So we have to go up and bang on doors. You know, we've got to look at where everything is and where everything's going. And we're not doing that.
And that's so. I guess that's what the Greenvilles and the others
right.
do. And you're fashioning a vision and letting economic development know, and they go out and look.
Yeah, they can go out and look, or we sit in a room with the development community because, of course, yeah. they have tons of contacts. They know where everything and everybody is, and going, well, yeah, we've talked with such and such, and they could possibly do this. But you know, here's the problems that we're going to have to overcome. Do you want to go down this road? Again, if we're going to say, which we have, we want something better, which is our mantra, then we're going to have to get in the game. We're going to have to sit down and say, what are we as a city willing to do to make sure this vision or this better project comes forward? And that will mean us rolling up our sleeves and getting in there and working out the deals. And right now, we're seem to be happy to just sit back and wait for the project to come and go, well, I don't like that project. And again, I love the trails. And as I said last night, I spent a lot of time on FAMPO making sure the funding is available to do the trails and everything else like that. Not so much on the design side. Mine is more on the money and get it done side.
Yeah.
And I understand that, but we're also an urbanized area. And sometimes you got to look at the bigger picture. And again, that to me was, we had an opportunity to loop back the trail system or begin to loop back the trail system to include going past the stadium and beyond and put in some safety stuff, you know, maybe it was time to relook at that. But again, I think really at the end of the day, this was really a case of, you know, is this what we really want? And because here's the thing, any businesses that come into those three bays,
yeah.
in most probability are going to want that second entrance. And by the way, that would be the last one on there. You can't put any more in there. There's no place to put them. But, you know, going back and using the MOU, 2005 MOU as a reason for saying, well, we had this berm here and we decided, you know, as we per the MOU that we're not putting curb cuts in there, when not one of the members of council were there in 2005 to, yeah. that, to have that discussion. And there never was a discussion about curb cuts in our main, you know, we had maintaining the berm. That's all it says. And we've changed the berm as a city on a number of occasions, which drives me nuts, too, when we can't follow our own rules.
So what happens next with this project?
My guess, the project goes away. I don't know what the next steps are going to be. That's going to be up for the applicants to decide okay. what they want to do.
Okay. City Councilman Matt Kelly.
But again, I'm not worried about that specific project. For me, last night was just more of, oh, my God, I'm sitting this, having the same conversation over and over and over again for years.
No, it did seem like that. That you have said you've had that same challenge a number of times.
And yeah, and it just keeps coming up back. And I mean, I brought it up at the retreat, got nowhere at the retreat. Oh, that's what we have a planning staff for. When your planning staff reacts to stuff coming in, they're not proactive.
Yeah. City Councilman Matt Kelly here, Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Shoup.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning as we wrap it up. You were here the last time we were here. We talked a little bit about composting, and that's become a big deal.
It's becoming a bigger and bigger deal as we try to wrap our hands around what we're going to do with waste in the future. I think we mentioned last time that, you know, we built the cell that we're using now for filling up with garbage and figured 7 years, it's now down to 5. And it'll probably continue to go down because it's filling up so quickly. So we do need to start looking at how we can divert from the landfill. The problem we're having now is with recycling. Recycling is now a cost, a big cost, and a growing cost to us to deal with. We have now at the R board basically told commercial haulers that we will not. That basically commercial haulers were losing so much that they started taking their recycling to us, and we were having to deal with it.
Yeah,
and we've now stopped that. Said no more. We're no more commercial recycling. But you know the alternative is to keep burying it, and that is not a good alternative either. So hopefully through GWR, George Washington Regional Commission, and the R Board, and some other groups, we're going to get together here hopefully in the next month or so to start talking about can we come up with a better regional approach? Because the problem you have with any of the solutions that are out there, including public-private, which we're looking at, involve some investment that right now one locality probably couldn't do or two localities would have difficulty doing. And this really needs to be more of a regional approach. And right now, Spotsylvania County has a fantastic facility down in Livingston dealing with composting, still at a cost, but mm-hmm. they're dealing with it. We were a member. We were taking our sludge down there from the city and then moved it over to the R Board and Stafford for understandable monetary reasons. But now most of it's going into the landfill because our composting efforts at the R Board are very, very limited. So I think we need to have this serious conversation about the future of recycling and composting and, frankly, waste management, because we've been told by the experts and all our localities agree that burying our trash is not a long-term solution, and we really need to start looking at different approaches, and the sooner the better.
When was it? It was a few years ago when you were in Germany, I think. You went. Oh. You spent a day on your vacation looking at facilities.
I do that everywhere I go.
Looking ahead.
Well, they're obviously, in this area, light years ahead. I think I told the story where they had a container full of plastic bottles, and they said, we're going to sell the bottles to either Italy or France, and they're going to clean it up, and they're going to shred it. They're going to sell it to Turkey. Turkey's going to turn it into synthetic thread. They sell the synthetic thread to China. And they said, see that sportswear you're wearing? Boom. There you go. There it is. No, they're light years ahead of us in so many ways. And they said a newspaper in Germany is a newspaper again within 7 days. I mean, they just turn it around that quickly. But then they have a recycling economy, local domestic economy, which is what we lack. You know, everything we do, you know, goes to overseas. And could you see right now, and you were around when we went to the recycling bin and the trash bin.
Yeah.
And the kind of pushback we got on that. In Germany, you've got five bins because you got to separate the glass from the paper from the plastic in separate bins. And we're single stream. And that's why also you're hearing that, you know, don't put your glass in with your recyclables anymore.
I was
going
to say that, yeah.
Because that really contaminates what we can get out of that. So we're going to separate the glass and use that, I think, we're going for road construction and things like that locally.
Now, when those containers changed in the city, I did a number of shows on that. I mean, it was a big deal.
It was. And again, I kind of having been in Germany and knowing what, you know, and in kindergarten class, and they have the five little bins and they teach them, and here's where you put it. And they have little pieces of, you know, pressed trash and you pick it up. Okay, which bin do you put it in? It is totally ingrained in there and in Europe in general that, you know, this is an important thing to do, and they start teaching it at an early age and on through. We obviously have a ways to go.
Yeah. Now, it is changing. I was telling you just off the air when a few weeks ago, Keith Dayton and Diane Jones with the R Board were in here and talking about that various thing. And Diane had said she's been involved in recycling for years and years in this area, and of how what's having to do with glass has really changed things.
It has. The bottom line is to really make recycling, I don't even say profitable, but at least make it workable for us. We need to develop our own domestic recycling industry and to deal with this locally as opposed to shipping it out. I mean, that's the private sector and but until that happens, this is going to continue to be a problem for us. And I want to make it clear that we are never going to stop recycling, but it's the cost is going up every day. And at some point, we've got to pass that cost on.
City Councilman Matt Kelly, you mentioned earlier about the baseball stadium, about how, you know, wanted Paul Acres' name to be there. I think your name should be somewhere.
No. Paul really was the godfather hanging up there, of this operation and spent a lot of time and effort and a lot of phone calls and going, what's going on?
Well, congratulations. At the very least, there should be a plaque that will say the members of City Council when that was built. So, but there should be a place for you too.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. And we will see you soon. If I don't see you before the end of the year, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you.
City Councilman Matt Kelly.
To Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.